World Football at AFCON.
Hello, Mike McCarthy with you as 16 become 8 and the quarter-final lineup at the Africa Cup of Nations is complete and favourites continue to fall. This time, it's Morocco's turn to pack their bags far earlier than anyone expected, and instead it's South Africa who deliver the latest shock. The World Cup semi-finalists are out. John Bennett's dark horses gallop into the next round. Could this be Bafana Bafana's year? Before that, Mali put themselves through to the quarterfinals for the first time since 2013, seeing off Burkina Faso in the process, who aided the Eagles with some obliging defending at times. We'll discuss that. Plus, we'll take you through the lineup for the last eight. And in this beautifully unpredictable AFCON, will either of my guests dare to pick a winner from here? We've got two of the best in the business on the pod. Former Cameroon defender Sebastian Bassong is with us. Seb, it's been an interesting day for you. I think when he took off, Morocco was still in the Africa Cup of Nations, and by the time he landed, they were out.
Yeah, definitely. It's been a crazy and very interesting day. But so far, it's been a very interesting AFCON overall. So, yeah, it's different.
Certainly has been. And the former South African captain, Dee Furman, is with us too. Perfect guest to have. Have you recovered yet from what you've just seen, Dee?
Mike, I'm smiling from ear to ear right now. I've got to say, I'm not in shock because I knew what we got. I knew that we can be a threat, as exactly as we did to Egypt in 2019. I fancied something very similar. But the way that second half went for Bafana Bafana, the penalty miss, the free kick at the end, it was just the perfect 45 minutes. Couldn't have asked for anything better.
Well, yeah, let's just forget about the first half because the game did explode into life in the second half, didn't it? Evidence Makopo scores the opener. Was he offside? No. Credit to the assistant referee because in real time, he looked a mile off. The replay showed it was a brilliant run and finish. Then a big handball claim for Morocco. VAR steps in after Toby Mbalek blocks El Kabi's goal-bound shot. Ashraf Hakimi steps up, the big player for the big moment, and smacks the crossbar. Then Sofyan Amrabat sent off for a second bookable offence. VAR gets involved again, wipes the yellow, makes it a straight red instead for denying a goal-scoring opportunity. But it turned out the goal-scoring opportunity wasn't denied at all. Mokwena with a set piece, he won it, and then won the game with that stunning free kick. Deemed so many talking points. Incredible performance from South Africa.
It really was. I mean, we messaged each other at half time saying we hope this game comes to life. And that's exactly what it did. The second half was just full of drama, full of action. And it's exactly the kind of performance we want to see from Bafana. That first goal was Bafana Bafana to a T. It was that quick combination play. Get the ball into Temba Zwane in that kind of final third, in the number 10 position. Something will happen. Through ball to Evidence Makhopa and a fantastic finish from him. To be fair, he's not really had too many sighters at goal. He took it really, really well. Puts Bafana in the lead. Then there's a penalty and we were texting when with the penalty. Bronwyn Williams was my goalkeeper for the national team and my club team when I played in South Africa. And he's the most, I've never seen a goalkeeper make so many penalty saves. So I knew.
Why is he so good at it?
He is, I don't know, he does his homework, number one. He always guesses the right way and he makes save after save. And if you look at the penalty, he does dive the right way, makes Hakimi maybe go for that little bit extra, ends up over the bar, massive left foot for South Africa. And then to Bocha Mokwena, first of all, why is he even making that run to win the free kick in the 90th minute in the first place from central midfield? But the free kick, again, another player that I played with, I watched him grow up. I've seen him practice free kicks after training day in, day out. And to do it on the big stage, to write his name in stars is something that I've been waiting for a long, long time. And I'm so happy it's happened for him tonight.
And Dean, this is a point you brought up earlier in the tournament, but it is worth making again. 10 of this South Africa squad played for the same club side. 7 of them were in the starting lineup for this game, including the entire back four. Just how big a difference has that made?
It's huge. It's Mamelodi Sundowns, who have been fantastic both domestically and on the continent for a number of years now. A real dominant force in African football. And the coach has gone with it. He sees that works. He sees that they have confidence in one another. They know each other's strengths. They know each other's weaknesses. They play with each other week in, week out. And they're very, very successful. They play in the Champions League in front of big crowds in high pressure environments, certainly in North Africa, in the likes of Egypt and Morocco, on the club stage. And can they handle that pressure on the international stage? And so far, they've absolutely done just that. And huge credit to the coach for maybe going against the norm and picking players from different teams and trying to find a combination that works. He's seen that the Sundowns setup is very, very successful. He's seen that they played together and he's put them together for the national team. And so far, so good.
Seb, Morocco didn't really do anywhere near enough to get into this game after the penalty miss as well. I mean, it was it's a pretty big shock as this AFCON has gone, but there have been so many of them. Are you surprised by anything you're seeing in the tournament now?
Honestly, by now, I'm not surprised by anything I'm watching, I'm witnessing, because it's, in a way, I like the narrative. I like what's happening because, you know, football is a very unpredictable sport, and it's not about your name, your stature, or who you are. It's more about the truth of the day. And I think there's so many teams that on the day, they've been underdogs, but they just like played for their life, and they've actually performed better. They outperformed teams. And today, Morocco, obviously, they were missing two key players, Sofiane Boufal and Hakim Ziyech. But however, I mean, South Africa has been the better team. It's not because you don't, they had chances, yeah, but the game is long, it's 90 minutes plus. When you don't convert your chances or half chances, at some point you get exposed. And that's been the story of this whole tournament. And I think it's really good for the continent, it's really good for the teams, and no teams have stolen anything. Every team that is going to go through, there's been in the last 16 and going to go to the last 8, I think they've deserved their place. They're here for a reason. And they're going to enjoy the moment, yeah.
Absolutely. How will Morocco be feeling, though? Because when you look at the way that the draw was panning out, this was such a big chance for them.
It was. And I think that as every team that had ambition, that had, you know, like that kind of, I would say, favourites, you know, tag on their back, they would be gutted. They will be very disappointed. The whole population, they had a big expectation on them. But AFCON is not the World Cup, and I think they knew they were going to have to really update the way to play, and they've tried as much as possible, but you got other teams and it's a different competition, so they're going home. That's it.
And they are hosting the next Africa Cup of Nations and will hope for much better. But let's talk about the other team that's got through to the last 8 at this tournament. Mali 2, Burkina Faso 1. Mali into the quarterfinals for the first time in a decade. An own goal from Edmond Tapsoba, putting Mali in front inside 3 minutes. Felt for him. He probably needed to play at the ball after Haidara's header hit the post, but he only succeeded in putting it into his own net. Sinayoko beating the offside trap to make it 2-0. A very tidy finish, that one. But a handball, another one, another penalty given for handball. Burkina Faso getting hope with that. Bertrand Traore sticking away the penalty. Dio thought he got the equaliser as well after heading home a set piece in the 90th minute, but he was in an offside position. So Mali make it through, Seb. Were they worth the win?
Yeah, definitely. Mali has been... it's been the better team during the game. But I think Burkina Faso shoot themselves in the foot. The first 3 minutes, they didn't switch on. They weren't there. Edmond Tapsoba wasn't on his feet, and he's a great player. He's a hell of a defender. Boom, they got punished after 3 minutes and coming back in the second half, first 3 minutes as well. So two very crucial moments where they weren't switched on. They got punished twice. Then they were running after the game, running after the score, trying as hard as possible. But it was difficult. But Mali, overall, was the better team in possession. Defensively, the block was great. Yeah, I mean, Mali is a very skillful team. And a bit like South Africa, they know each other. They might not play on a club level together, but they've been through the ranks of different category of youth to the first team as a national team, so they know each other. It's a bunch of friends. They're real friends, and you can see that on the pitch. And today worked out perfectly.
Yeah, for Burkina Faso, they changed things up in the second half and they got Mali on the back foot for a bit. Will they be kicking themselves not just for the way they conceded the goals right at the start of each half, but also maybe that they were passive for perhaps a bit too long?
Yeah, they were reactive rather than being active. Burkina Faso, when you don't, their strength is on the flank, is on the wings with Kabore bombing on and even Yago or the other player on the left-hand side. But Mali were nullifying them in the middle of the park. They were just harassing them up their throat. So they couldn't even play their game. So, but it was a bit too late when they started going on. Coming back on the second half, the manager changed a little bit something tactically. He went three at the back, which allowed them to go higher on the pitch. But it was too late because after 3 minutes, they were 2-0 down. And it was a wrap.
And Dean, look, Mali's first win since the opening round of group games. And Ivory Coast up next for them. I mean, this could go anywhere, couldn't it?
It really could. I think one of the things I like at a major tournament is the host to be in for as long as possible. I think you get the atmosphere, the country's on a high. Seb, I'm sure you're feeling that at the moment, that there must be a buzz there in Ivory Coast. And it could have very, very easily gone the other way. It was so it's good that they're still in the tournament. There's going to be a huge crowd there. And it looks like slowly but surely, as this tournament's gone on, they've gathered a little bit of momentum. That last victory they had in the last round has really spurred them on. I'm sure with that home support, they are backing themselves to go all the way now.
Yeah, and yesterday, trust me, yesterday I was in Yamoussoukro for the game. We got stuck with the bus and we got stuck for more than an hour. I mean, it was mental. And it was only the last 16. So because, as we said, they came back from the dead, they've been dead and buried for 3 days. So there's a whole narrative, a whole story that's been written at the moment with Ivory Coast. So, and Mali and Ivory Coast has a very special rivalry politically and, yeah, as a political level, they're neighbors, but they really don't like each other, president and stuff. So it's going to be very interesting.
Well, let's go through that quarterfinal lineup in full then. Starting on Friday, Nigeria against Angola, then DR Congo taking on Guinea. Saturday sees Cape Verde against South Africa, and as we've been mentioning, Mali against the hosts, Ivory Coast. Dean, John Bennett still has South Africa as his dark horses for the tournament. Who are your favourites now?
I can't not back my Bafana boys. I just can't. I just, there's something happening when you see Hakimi stepping up for a penalty and he's blazing over the bar. It just seems something special is happening. I don't want to speak too soon because Cape Verde, I played them twice in 2017 in our World Cup qualifiers. We lost to them twice, 2013 in the AFCON opening game, FNB Stadium in Johannesburg. Everyone expected us to win. It was a draw. And if I'm honest, we should have lost that game. So I'm not taking them lightly at all. It's going to be a very, very tough game. But it's anyone's this. It's anyone's. The so-called big nations, the fancy nations, Nigeria are going about their work in an understated fashion, but I think they're ticking along really nicely. So I would have them down as the favourites right now.
Would you agree with that, Seb? Victor Osimhen is yet to really light up the tournament with goals. He's done many other things for Nigeria, but 15 attempts and one goal so far. Could he be the man that steps up against Angola and really does cement Nigeria's place as the favourites?
I reckon if you talk about Nigeria, it's their defence that was going to win games, not Victor Osimhen. Victor Osimhen is part of their whole defensive setup. And trust me, he does work a lot. So people expect him to score a bunch of goals, but what he brings to the team right now is what a team needs to go and win titles. So attackers, they win you games, but defence win you titles. So right now, from what I've seen from Nigeria in terms of defensive work, they've been really solid. Have they been tested enough? I don't know. We'll see. But as my favorite, honestly, I suck at prediction, to be fair. So I would go, I don't know, I have a soft spot for my Congolese people. I like the way they defend, the way they dance, and I don't know. Yeah.
Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget, you can get in touch with your WhatsApp voice notes on +44 800 032 0470. World Football at AFCON back on Friday to round up the first two of those quarterfinals. John Bennett will bring you the very best coverage from Ivory Coast.
World Football at AFCON is a BBC Sport production from the BBC World Service.